You may know him from Bill Simmons podcast, Titus and Tate podcast, Tate Frazier. TW is so fascinating to have him on. He's so knowledgeable about UNC sports and sports in general. Were you surprised by his knowledge, or did you think that's what were you expecting what you got?
So I've been listening to him, you know, from the Bill Simmons days. I've been following all of that world. So I knew him and Titus and Tate. They became UVA fans, and like obviously their channel grew, and then he left and started his own thing. And like we talked about it in there. He's a part of this company, right? Justin, you probably don't even know this. And Titus and Tate, after the championship, he shouted out your hoodie and my hoodie on his show, and then everyone went to go look for it. And that's like literally the original fund for Locker Room Access. So he is a part of this thing, because he was like, that was a dope off-white style hoodie. I don't know where they got it. If anyone knows, link it up. And then here we are, right? Like, he's a part of this thing, whether he knows it or not. Like, he just made that suggestion. So for that, we're extremely grateful. I thought it was really cool. I mean, what did you know about him, Jess?
Well, obviously, after hearing that, Tate was really the one that got us popping off in Charlottesville. So maybe we should take Locker Room Access to UNC one day after this conversation. It was cool to bring a longtime, lifelong friend of mine, James Michael McAdoo, into the talk. And one thing that kind of took me aback was he mentioned not only Coach Bennett, but he mentioned Dave Lato, who we don't really talk as much about because of how Coach Bennett came in and kind of took everything over and just took it to the next level. But Coach Lato did some great things for our program as well. And I think James coming in and showing love to our whole UVA fan base is something to listen for.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Doug, were you surprised at Tate's knowledge of older guys?
No, because you could tell immediately he's an intelligent kid. He pays attention. He's passionate. I guess I didn't know his family was so deep rooted in North Carolina and basketball and sports history to say, you know, but I think it's just part of his DNA, dude. And, you know, he's quick to explain things, talking about, he brought the Dominique Wilkins thing up, which I thought was my favorite part of his answers. And, you know, he was nice enough to compare Virginia and UNC basketball in the modern era, which is thanks to Justin and guys like that. That's where we are.
And Justin, I mean, I don't want to spoil his Mount Rushmore, but that was a cool part of it.
I'm going to have a great rest of my day. Let me just
No, but there seemed to be a genuine respect for UVA basketball from a program that has done incredibly well
across the board. It was times when in the interview, I was like, wait, how did he even know that about us?
Yeah, that's amazing.
He watched that game too. This dude didn't miss a beat when it came to UNC basketball and anything around it, ACC problem.
And if somebody comes on and disrespects, it's going to go click. So, kind of choice, but he did. He was very genuine and very knowledgeable.
And I'll say it. One of the first shirts my parents got me when I was a little toddler, I got to find the picture, but it says, my two favorite teams are Virginia and whoever's playing UNC. And I was like, I wore that all basketball season. You know, it was like the one shirt I had. So that's why I think it's so funny to have, you know, I never hated UNC like that, but in the Ralph era, that was the rivalry. It was UNC. Like, kids don't know that today, but back then that was the one that we hated. Like, it wasn't Duke. It was UNC, which full circle.
Carolina ref.
In my experience, I never really had any issues with UNC. My experience is the hate usually came from Duke. I mean, the way that they kind of walked around like they owned the league and the swagger that they had. Like, I had a couple buddies that played there, and I was cool with them. But, like, there were times where I was hoping a loose ball kind of went out towards their bench. But UNC, it was never a team with UNC that I was kind of worried about I never looked at them like, oh, we hate them. It was more like, yeah, it's going to be a tough game, especially when we played him down in the Dean Dome. And it was cool to kind of pick his mind on that and talk a little bit about that jersey that's hanging up in those rafters out there.
Yeah, the Last Dance talk was cool, hearing those stories. And then I thought it was really cool, man. That was awesome. It all worked out really well. Ty made a cool appearance.
Yeah.
And he jumped on early. I was
going to say, we had a couple of great guests on today that joined the podcast. It really made it fun. Now joining us is Tate Frazier from Titus and Tate. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely, man. It's an honor. As you all know here on this program, I'm a believer in Ty Jerome and the way Ty Jerome plays basketball. He reminds me of the way my brother played basketball. My brother was a point guard like that. Had great vision, was able to find people. And again, last year, just a year ago, it feels like it was like 18 years ago. But you know, being in Minnesota in the Final Four, that moment, Ty finds DeAndre in the corner, and that's the, you know, that's when I was like, finally, we see it on the biggest stage. He delivers, and it's great to be on. And obviously, I knew Ty started this whole thing, Locker Room Access, and I'm happy to be a part of it. So thanks for having me on, guys. And
I was gonna say, thank you for the you are a part of the inception. If you didn't know, because you mentioned the hoodie that Justin and I and we wore on your podcast, mm-hmm. and then like we've scrambled to put it online because everyone was looking for it, and then like Mark flew out, we figured out a plan, and here we are. So thank you for that small plug there for on your podcast, your giant podcast. But every UVA fan was like obviously hooked because you guys loved UVA, so it was a pseudo UVA podcast at that point.
And I have to say this as a North Carolina guy, right? I mean, it was very hard for me to jump on the Virginia bandwagon. Yeah. My mom and my dad and my entire family, they're all looking at me sideways. They're like, what is going on? You know, we are not Virginia fans. We were fans, but again, I was a Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Kyle guy, that trio. I hated what I saw from UMBC. I knew Ryan Odom. My dad worked with Ryan Odom, and we know Dave Odom. So I was happy for Ryan, hated it for you guys. And redemption is a hell of a thing. And North Carolina got it in 2017. You guys got it in 2019. So yeah, now we're all friends because we're all champions. So it's
that's right.
Good feeling.
Welcome to the club. Since you're such a big Ty fan, I'll give you one of my repeating jokes. As his dad, I got to know when Ty came to the program. Mm-hmm. And I said, even up until the final game, he was nervous that Ty wasn't going to get any playing time. Every game. Yo, Ty had 17, 12, and 6. He's like, yeah, but this and this. I hope he plays next game. Like, I think he'll be all right.
He'll be all right.
I think he'll survive.
All time.
All right, Tate. As a huge USC fan, is The Last Dance, is that doc the greatest thing you've ever seen?
It's great for me, right? Just being from North Carolina, it's always odd when I tell people that my role model growing up was a 6'6" black man named Michael Jordan. You know, that's who I wanted to be. Obviously, it would have taken a lot for me to become him. You know, I turned into a 6'2" white guy. But he obviously, you know, he made you believe in the artistry of basketball, at least from my vantage point. I thought Space Jam was a real story until I was about, you know, 10 years old. And then someone, you know, told me Santa Claus wasn't real and Space Jam wasn't real. So yeah, for me, like just seeing Michael be himself, being person, because he's so far removed, you know, he's just too big of a star to be just Mike walking around North Carolina, even though I think he is a country boy like that. It was fun to see him at the iPad laughing. And BJ Armstrong is my agent. And I've heard BJ tell these stories to me, and he'd always say, like, if you say anything to anybody, like, I'll kill you, basically. Like, we don't share these stories. Like, Michael's taking these stories to the grave. And with this documentary, we're not getting the full story, I will say. I don't think we're getting the fullest version of all the stories, but we're getting enough from Michael for me to be excited and enjoy it. And I feel like America and everyone in the basketball world, it's just fun to go back into that time period, because even if you weren't a Michael Jordan fan, you might be a Reggie Miller fan, you might be a Patrick Ewing fan, you might be an Akeem Olajuwon fan, you might be, you know, a fan of Clyde Drexler, or whoever it may be from that era. I feel like those guys set the standard for basketball, you know, for what we see today. And it's fun to see MJ have fun.
Hold on, Tate, you realize you just took three kids and our entire listening audience into the candy store and told us we can't eat. We can't get something, right? Like, dude, you can't do that.
I mean, I'll give you one example of that, right? So 1995, Michael Jordan's playing baseball, right? We see it in The Last Dance. And the way they cover the story in The Last Dance is, you know, BJ and Michael, they just randomly go to Baker Square, they get breakfast, and BJ's like, Mike, you know, why don't you just come to the Bulls practice facility today, right? And then they're like, and then Michael was back. And they say they, you know, but the full version of that story, at least from what I heard, I'll give the Spark Notes version, is, you know, BJ and MJ, they talk junk. You know, we all hear, that's what sports happen. You know, that's what you do when you're on the team. You just like, you know, we saw with Scott Burrell in the doc. Michael was obviously giving BJ some ribbing, saying he's still better than him, even though he's got a baseball body, all this sort of stuff. He was like, I'll beat your ass on 101 right now. Michael gets in his, you know, with air on the back of the car, drives to the Bulls facility in a suit. Plays BJ 101 in a suit. BJ says that he kind of blacked out the experience, but he remembered it being a very close game at one point. He looked up and, you know, Phil, Jerry Reinsdorf, Jerry Krause, you know, the whole group of the Chicago Bulls, you know, they're up there watching the scrimmage. Michael's in a suit and suit shoes. Michael hits a fadeaway, which turns out to be the new, you know, patented fadeaway of the second era of Michael Jordan. Off BJ wins the game, walks upstairs, faxes in, I'm back, and the rest is history. But in, you know, the doc version of that, we can't get the full details, so we just kind of get, you know, Michael's back to playing basketball.
Right. I appreciate that story, but it sounds like a little bit of a fishtail. Suit and in shoes.
And dress shoes, leather.
And dress shoes.
Yeah, that's basketball court?
Yeah, and that's what they had. Apparently, replaced the floor because he tore up the court with his suit shoes. So that's the folklore, right?
You know,
that's what we're trying to figure out. What's true? What's not true?
But it's funny. I have a buddy from Kentucky, Chris Snowpeck, that played for the White Sox for a while. And he was on the Double A team with Jordan.
Love it.
And he's given us some stories about playing Double A with Jordan. And there's some he's like, I can't go the rest of the way with this story.
Yeah, it's it's surface level, right? We'll give you like a little look, but then we're not gonna go too deep into the real story because Michael is still Air Jordan, and you know, we got to keep Air Jordan the mythology alive.
As a coach who really values defense, I have to question BJ Armstrong's defense if he's letting someone bust his ass wearing suit shoes.
who hadn't played in a year?
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure he knows that. I think that's honestly why the scrimmage did not make it to the doc though, because BJ's like, I don't want that out there.
Like, so you got a full
show the
blackout.
98 game. Yeah, show the 98 Hornets game. Don't show that.
That leads me to a question I had for you in terms of, like, you've been doing this so long, you've had so many guests that you've with both Simmons to everything. Have you been desensitized a little bit by all this? Because you're a college basketball fan, you're a sports fan, mm-hmm. but now having been in this, and especially in this podcast space, has it become like that's, you know, second nature now and not a big deal, or is it still cool?
I think it's always going to be cool, but it's one of those things where when I first started working with Bill, I was at Grantland, and I was working for Jalen Jacoby, and Jalen obviously was on the Fab Five team, you know, North Carolina 93, mm-hmm. you know, beat mm-hmm. that Fab Five team. So I was the PA for Jalen. I had to go get him coffee every day. He gave me shit every day about North Carolina. And that was like the first time I'm in LA, you know, I'm kind of like right out of school, but Jalen Rose is talking shit to me and I'm talking shit to him about Donald Williams. So it kind of, that was the first time I was like, oh, this is normal. People are regular. This is cool. Then Bill hired me. I was his producer, and he's bringing in, like you said, all these different, you know, celebrities. And then one day David Duchovny's on the show. You know, I loved Californication when I lived in Henderson, North Carolina. I never thought I'd be in California. And now I'm seeing Hank Moody sitting on the couch right here. And that was when I got starstruck for the first time. And then I had a great BJ Armstrong told me this a long time. He was like, the best thing you can do whenever you're, you know, anxious or whatever, worried about things, like, just be quiet, right? Just stay silent. Silence is always a great thing, because then people are trying to, they're like, what's going on with you? But you don't want to be the loudest person in the room. So that was one of those things. The first year with Bill, as we had Judd Apatow and all these people on, just silence. You know, if I was introduced to them by Bill, then sure, that was great. But otherwise, I'm a fly on the wall. And I think that sort of helped desensitize it a little bit. The only person I really look at as like above anyone else is Michael Jordan. And I had heard from my grandpa a long time ago, never meet your heroes. I've never met Michael. I don't know if I ever need to meet Michael. I kind of like the mythology of Michael more so than probably the reality of the person. But like you said, I mean, it's cool to be in those rooms, but I was so young that I was free. I was shitting my pants, you know, to be quite honest with you. So I was doing my best to just kind of like be silent. And if it's about basketball, I can talk about that. But if it was about something else, it was just like, your opinion is not needed right now. So shut up.
So when BJ Armstrong, you're talking to him about doing this pod, and you're hearing these Jordan stories, mm-hmm. how, like, what is your recollection of them? Of that era, because obviously no social media back then versus today. Like, what is that like for you to hear them this in this fashion sense? Is it strange? Is it normal? Is it
It's something is what it is. I'm the youngest in my family. You know, I got an older brother, but you know, my dad is the youngest. My mom is the youngest. And so I just learned everything about the 80s and the 90s. My brother had the 1993 National Championship game VHS in a VHS player. And so I was about 10 years old. We would watch that, you know, at night before he went to bed, just kind of like as a soothing thing to do. You know, we had the 98, you know, the finals, all six games on VHS. We used to watch those with Jordan. So, like, I would just watch those games. 98 was really the only thing I remember watching live. And I just remember hating Karl Malone because my brother had told me I didn't like Karl Malone. So I was kind of like, I'm done with Karl Malone. And that was like, I was 5 or 6 years old. So it didn't really mean the same. But then when I got in high school, I was playing basketball. I also realized I wasn't going to be, you know, a Division I basketball player. I needed to find some other route. Charlie Rose is from my hometown. I'm like, love Stuart Scott. Decided, hey, why don't I get in this broadcasting world? So then I would just watch the Jordan games or the Carolina games with my brother and just listen to how they called the games, right? And then I would just, you know, what are the little ticks that they would point out to? Like, oh, this little set that they're running, this little rub set that they're running. That's cool. That's something that I've seen later on that Wisconsin runs with Nigel Hayes in 2015 when he does this little play, you know. And then that has helped me, you know, been able to bridge that gap because I was the weird kid watching 90s games in the 2000s on VHS and DVD with my brother. So that's why it's not weird because I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know. That makes
I still have no idea what the fucking elevator screen is, by the way. I have no clue what's going on.
Like, you know what that is, Dougie. You absolutely know what that is. I know.
I was going to bring it back to that North Carolina piece. Mm-hmm. I hear you all the time talking about the North Carolina players. Steph Curry, like you, similar, I think similar to me, I like the same love and loyalty I have for Virginia, you have for Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are, you know, I guess some of your memories in terms of Carolina guys, high school guys leaving and not selecting UNC? Like, do you have a few that you can ring off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'll give you a personal story. This one is probably, you guys may not even know who this guy is or maybe not remember him, but his name is Jamison Curry. And Jamison Curry ended up going to Oklahoma State. Sutton and John Lucas III and those guys. But he was the number one player in North Carolina. My uncle had the scoring record, the North Carolina scoring record, and he still has the rebounding record for a game with 46 rebounds in a game, but he had the scoring record, and Jamison Curry was going to break the record in 2003. And so my uncle, my dad, my brother, all of us we went down to Eastern Alamance. We watched Jamison Curry break my great uncle's record. It was, you know, this beautiful moment. I remember the song Yeah by Usher and Little John. It came out that night. And they played it, and me and my brother were like, what is this song? Like, what is going on? This is amazing. Jamison breaks my great uncle's record. Like I said, they had this nice little moment. The next week, he gets caught with weed at his locker at school. Oh, man. He loses his scholarship to North. He was going to be the savior, right? He was a Curry, right? And now Steph Curry ends up being. But, like, Jamison was an amazing scorer. He was going to go to North Carolina. He gets caught, loses the scholarship, ends up going to Oklahoma State, like I said. But that whole experience is why, like, I think I fell in love with Steph Curry 4 years later because it was like a redemption arc for the Curry story in North Carolina. Because right. I thought it should have been Jamison, and then Steph comes in and it's just out of nowhere becomes like a phenomenon. And so Jamison Curry, that would be my number one answer. And Ronald Curry is my number one answer for guys we stole from Virginia.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
I love Ronald Curry. My goodness, he's the best.
I mean, he never won in Charlottesville because everyone hated his guts. Every time he touched the ball, fans would just go apeshit. It was amazing. I think he really struggled with that one. But there's been an array of – you want to ask it, Dougie, your famous question?
Yeah, we have we do with the UVA guys, obviously. But if you – this is going to be a tough one for you. If you had a University of North Carolina basketball, Mount Rushmore, and I'll give you five.
Give me players, five. Okay.
As opposed to four. Your own criteria, whether it's somebody you like, whether it's they're the best player or whatever. Also, I didn't realize you're not allowed to smoke weed at North Carolina.
What do you mean? Like on the team, you're not allowed to?
No, you said the guy got caught with weed and he got his
well, this is in high school. This is, like, once he got to the team, I'm sure he'd been all right. I was like,
that was a joke, homeboy.
I know, I got you. Okay. I was like, hold on. I was like, wait a second. What are we doing?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore top five. Can I have a coach on the Mount Rushmore?
You can do whatever you want.
All right, cool. So the fifth spot I'll just give to Coach Dean Smith. And I think Dean Smith is everything that we see that is good about the Calipari's and the Coach K's in modern times. They've stolen from Dean Smith, and everything bad is their own thing that they created. I think Dean Smith actually cared about these guys and these players, and I think he did a lot of things that were frowned upon in the time, but he did them in a strategic, smart way to make sure that the players were getting the best of the opportunity that was being presented to them. So Dean Smith is there. And then from there, I'm going to go down number one on my list. North Carolina basketball players of all time is Phil Ford. Phil Ford is the Four Corners legend. Phil Ford is should have won a national championship in 77. Phil Ford has always been very, very nice to me ever since I was a little kid. They do these things in North Carolina where they go around to like different small towns and they'll bring a representative. Phil Ford would always come to my hometown. He would always flirt with my Aunt Reba. He would always, you know, just be like the super coolest guy. He's just like the big man on campus, you know.
I don't know if people outside of Carolina realize how well regarded Phil Ford is.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you go back and watch, I'm a big ABA guy. So some of the ABA stuff would have been, you know, really good with him. Is that Justin Anderson?
What's up, man? What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you holding up?
I'm doing all right, man. This is Justin Anderson. If you don't know this, when you were at Virginia, whenever you came to the Dean Dome, I was at all those games. And I was like, why does this guy play for Virginia? Why did he not come to North Carolina? He looks like a North Carolina player. So you were in my nightmares back then. But, man, I hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I'm doing great. That was some fun times in Dean Dome, man. I remember coming there as a recruit. And, you know, they always – the recruits kind of courtside right beside the team bench. And the fans just didn't shout my name enough, man. I remember Kendall going, and they were, like, videos of them, like, going crazy over Kendall and Jake Mack and those guys. So I was like, man, I need to go to Charlottesville. They show me too much love out there.
I'll blame James Michael McAdoo for that. James Michael and I grew up, and he was he loved being the number one recruit in the country, and he loved taking other people's shine. So I apologize for that. If James Michael was a good teammate, he would have said, like, guys, Justin Anderson right here. We need a shooter. We need someone around me.
If you don't know, he's talking about literally, like, the best teammate in the world.
Yes.
James Michael McAdoo. So how you doing though? How's everything going with you?
It's going all right, man. We were just doing my Mount Rushmore of top UNC players where I bring up guys from the 70s and 80s and people my age are like, what is wrong with you? Like, can't you just say Marcus Page and Joel Berry and get over yourself? And I'm like, all right.
Let me hear one time. I know you've already said it, but.
No, he just said Phil Ford.
He just said Phil Ford.
He's on number two right now.
Okay. Number two. So there we go.
Phil Ford at number two?
I got Phil Ford number one.
Coach Smith at the top.
Coach Smith at number one. Separately. So we got Phil Ford at number one. Number two, Big Game James, Finals MVP, James Worthy. The best player on the 1982 team, a guy that Michael Jordan, you know, in this documentary, this is why the documentary is a little frustrating, right? James Worthy says in the documentary, 2 weeks into school, Michael Jordan was better than him. That's not true. James Worthy was working his ass, and he loved every second of it, and he was by far the best player. Which gets us to our number three, and he was also the number three pick in the draft. And it's not because he shouldn't have been the number one pick, but the other two guys were just better picks and better fits. That's Michael Jordan, right, who just got a 10-part saga, a guy that hit the shot in 1982 against Georgetown in New Orleans, and in 1984 was the National Player of the Year, was also Sporting News Player of the Year in 1983, so I'll say back-to-back, just so he has something to say against Kareem when you talk about college years. Number four, moving forward, this is more of like a personal pick, and it was because I love the 93 team. That's George Lynch. George Lynch is, I think, a stretch four, but he also had the fundamentals unlike any other. And he also was, you know, the reason that the African-American studies program that got Carolina in trouble, George Lynch was the one that started at 93 because he came back and was like, I want to start this program. George Lynch is the man, and he's a great North Carolina guy. And then number five for me is a man that, he can fly just like Michael Jordan, and in fact, he can maybe fly a little bit better, and that's Vince Carter. Vince Sanity. You know that, and Vince Sanity is probably the number one guy that is the donor that comes back to North Carolina. He has a whole – the Hall of Famers row when you go, the Letterman row when you go to the Dean Dome is named after Vince Carter because he gave and donated. He loves Carolina basketball. He's a Florida guy. He jumped over a man while wearing a Team USA jersey, in case we forgot. And he also should have won a national championship. But Rick Majerus in Utah, I don't know how that happened. I still don't know how that happened. But those are my top five. I hope that those are approved And I'm sorry to Marcus Paige and Joel Berry and Isaiah Hicks, all the people that I love personally, James Michael McAdoo, Harrison Barnes, but I'm old school. I can't do that.
Yeah, strong, well-explained list. I don't think anybody can argue.
Yeah, that one. I was going to say, what about the guys from North Carolina? Mm. Not necessarily went to UNC, but the Carolina, quote-unquote Carolina guys. Like, you don't have to do Mount Rushmore, but who are some off the top of your head that you would say lead that list?
My number one guy that didn't go to Carolina that is from North Carolina, and he's from Little Washington, is Dominic Wilkins. Dominic Wilkins is – I at one point wanted to go to Georgia because I wanted to be like Dominic Wilkins, because I was like, you know what, Michael's too straight-laced. I'm like, Dominic, I want to have my own thing. I don't need to win championships. I just need to flex. And that was about ninth grade. And, you know, I got over that phase. But Dominic's always the guy. And then I think, you know, James Worthy, obviously from Gastonia. And then the third one's probably Jerry Stackhouse from Kinston. So those three guys are all some North Carolina guys that you can really point to and say, man, because Jerry Stackhouse, I think, could have been one of the greatest players of all time if he was, you know, maybe in some more winning situations. So,
not for a controversial statement, but interesting you don't choose John Wall. What about the love John Wall gets for being a North Carolina guy not going at UNC?
Yeah. Well, so John Wall, I played him in middle school, and he scored 60 points on us. And and I had to guard him a couple times. So that's why John Wall's not on my list, because he embarrassed me and my friends. But John Wall is, like you said, he and CJ Leslie, who was also on Word of God, those two guys were nasty in North Carolina. The reason that John Wall, there was all this uproar, is because, you know, he obviously picks Kentucky, and you're in blue blood territory with Duke and North Carolina. People were upset about that. But John's the man. John's a great guy, too. And I think, like, the dancing and the Dougie and all that stuff when he came to the NBA, he got such a bad rap and he's such a great guy. He comes back and gives back to Raleigh. He has his tournament every year in December. John's a great guy. I'm just upset personally. That's why I didn't put him on my list.
That's awesome. Great story.
And what about, Justin, for you, Virginia guys, top Virginia guys, especially when you know, there's that PG County documentary now.
Nice.
Like, talk about a few of the guys that ring off the top of your head in terms of that rival Tate's list there for Virginia versus Carolina.
Well, but you can't – but are you going to claim PG County as Virginia?
No,
you can't do that.
You can't do that, right?
Yeah.
Commonwealth.
And one guy that comes to mind off the top, if we're going back – legends and things like that, obviously. What would have Charlottesville been like if a young AI came to town and put that jersey on? That would have been insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, from the new class, man, I wish I could drop names like John Wall, man. For us, it's guys like Josh Harrison, who ended up going to Duke. I would have loved to have him come play with us. J-Mac, I would have loved McAdoo with us.
McAdoo would have had a huge career at Virginia, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like he almost fit better at Virginia.
Absolutely. I mean, I think he had an unbelievable career at UNC. It just kind of went longer than a lot of people expected, so it was easy for people to kind of look over it. And from what I've heard, you're a big UNC fan, also a big McAdoo fan, so you know. But for a lot of people, they don't know. I don't think they realize, like, that the little intangibles that you have to be able to do when you're on the floor with other first-round picks and things. But another name that comes to my mind is Seth Allen. Seth Allen ended up going to Maryland and Virginia Tech. These are guys that, once again, when you're looking to recruit for UNC, you're looking for something completely different than what we're looking for at Virginia. So you're just looking for solid guys who can kind of fill a role, can be a part of a team, be a part of a unit. Not saying UNC can't do that, but it's kind of tough when you got young freshmen coming in, right? And they're looking to kind of get their name on the draft boards and things like that.
Yep.
But
just, you know, do you know the legend of Mike Evans. I'm sorry. Mike Evans. He was in the same class as AI, and he came to Charlottesville for that state tournament, and just beyond. Like, you got to look it up or find out about it. He ended up going to community college or whatever, but he's the one that got away.
Interesting. I got to ask around about that. He was good though. What position?
No, it's Craig. Point guard, 6'3".
Ooh.
I mean, him and Allen must have had crazy, crazy competitions.
Is he from that 757 area or 804?
Yeah, 757.
Okay, yeah.
So, 11. So that's Tate,
Virginia list.
we posted that image of, you know, and that quote from Michael Jordan saying he thought about going to UVA. What is your recollection of that? Like you, in your history, did that ever come up? Like he could have went to UCLA, could have went to Virginia, or do you just erase that out of your memory?
I'll say this. I know a bunch of NC State people, right? And, you know, I had a cousin that played basketball at NC State, and NC State fans believe that Michael Jordan was a David Thompson recreation. He was going to go to NC State, be the next David Thompson, but better. He was definitely going to NC State until North Carolina paid him to go to North Carolina, according to NC State fans. So that is like the story that is in the Triangle area for people that think that Michael Jordan, you know, was swayed to North Carolina. My version of the story is that Roy Williams found him in Wilmington, got him to go to five-star camp. He went to five-star camp. He's against Lynn Bias and all these other guys. He's the best player on the floor. People were like, who is Mike Jordan? Mike Jordan had already gotten the approval from Dean Smith. He'd already met Dolores Jordan. He already met James Jordan. And Dean Smith is one of those guys, when he gets in with the family, it's not that he puts rings on the table or anything. He just asks them real questions. How are you doing? You know, who, you know, what's important to you? What's important to Michael? What's important to, you know, the next, you know, stage of life after basketball? And those are genuine, real questions that you have to ask. And I think Mike Jordan and Dolores Jordan and the Jordan family said, we're going to play for Dean Smith. I could see UVA having that exact same cell. You know, Ralph Sampson is one of my favorite players. Ralph Sampson, if there's anything I could change, I wish Ralph Sampson went to North Carolina. And I think that, you know, the story that I had heard, that Ralph Sampson came down to Chapel Hill, there was a racial remark was said to Ralph Sampson. Ralph Sampson told Dean Smith about it. Dean Smith told him to go to Virginia, you know? And so that is you know, I think there's a lot of ties between those two communities where, you know, there's good people that have great values that want to see guys succeed. And that's why Michael, if he goes to Virginia, or James Michael McAdoo goes to Virginia, or Justin goes to Carolina, I think that they're going to have great experiences because of great situations that are already in place there.
By the way, if you're trying to get Ralph too, you're being a little bit selfish here. You know, you guys have pretty good players take. can we at least keep, man, Ralph? Thanks.
Ralph is unbelievable. He was at I was at the All-Star game this year in Chicago, and we talked to Ninth Wonder and Ralph Sampson about the ACC in the 80s. And Ralph is just – he's just the nicest, most humble dude ever. And you can tell that the 2019 team, him seeing Virginia win the title, I mean, that's just the because the NIT, people were just idiots and don't understand how important the NIT was, and there weren't that many teams going to the tournament anyway. So it was great to – it's great to see Ralph get that validation with Virginia winning too. And now Virginia's right. Everyone knows that Virginia's a real basketball powerhouse. And when Sean Singletary was there, I thought that myself, cause I love Sean Singletary, but you know, now it's like nationally everyone knows.
And then, so my question on top of that, in terms of, all right, you got UVA versus UNC as this rivalry. What are some of the games that you remember in your memory of watching old school games? Is there, and there's one I remember with Dougie Fresh over here, but UNC versus UVA, what are your thoughts?
Man, I'm going to be quite honest with you. The past 5 years of the UVA, UNC, you know, situation, I wouldn't even call it a rivalry. Tony Bennett is, I'll say this, Tony Bennett, in my opinion, is the Dean Smith of the 21st century. And I think with what he's been able to do at Virginia, all I can think about is 2015, Justin Anderson being in the Dean Dome and like beating North Carolina, or even a couple years back when we won the championship in 2017, you know, Virginia, or Ty, the year that you guys won, right? You guys were down in Chapel Hill, and then you guys came back in like the last 2 minutes and just were able to win that game. I think you were down like 8 points or something like that. And And I think that was one of the games that kind of set the tone for your whole tournament run. Because it was like, oh, Virginia just refuses to lose to anybody. And so in my mind, when I think of UNC Virginia right now, I just think about the past 5 years, and I think about the fact that Virginia owns North Carolina, and I don't like it at all. And I don't really know what to do about it. And like I said, Tony Bennett's I think he's the best coach in the ACC right now. That's all that's in my head. So I got to think about something. I need to look up a game in the past to make myself feel better.
So one thing that I appreciate that you take into account is like what Tony Bennett's doing now with his style versus what Dean Smith did back when they were playing Ralph. Yeah, with the four corners and slowing the tempo down and understanding it is very similar. So you hear all these people saying, oh, hate tempo, but UNC's the great UNC was also built on a similar infrastructure. So it's cool that you make note of that and don't make fun of us for it.
Oh, no. I mean, Dean Smith, if you read articles back in the day, like in 1982 when North Carolina won the ACC tournament championship, they ran four corners for the last 6 minutes. And, you know, basically the headline is like North Carolina's ruining basketball. And, you know, that's right. Kind of what Virginia had to go through. They had to go through this period where people were like, is this really a way to win a championship? And of course it is. I mean, what do you hear Phil Jackson say in The Last Dance? Defense will win championships. Play good defense tonight. That's the Pack line. So it's idiotic that it got so far down the line, but it's also perfect that it was the full 16 to we're the best, because that's basketball. Anything can happen on a given day, especially in a tournament.
So at what point did you guys go all in on, because at some point you guys turned for you and Titus to become full on like cheering for Virginia. When did that, what was the tipping point for that?
I started cheering for Virginia as soon as they lost, because we had picked them to – I picked Virginia to win the title in 2018, and then they lost to UMBC. And so I immediately was like – in North Carolina, obviously 2016, 2017, that had happened. I believe when those things happen, it galvanizes a group, right? They all come together. And that happened. I know Tony's a great coach. I know he's a great motivator. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be a national championship on the other side of that. I just was hoping there would be something like that. And so from that point on, Titus and I kind of decided we're going to, you know,
double down
in the ground and say Virginia basketball works. And if you don't believe it, you don't understand basketball. And thank God Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, and Kyle Guy won a championship, because if they didn't, I probably wouldn't be at Fox Sports right now. They'd probably be like, this guy doesn't know anything. Let's go.
No pressure, Tyrone.
Does that give him stock in the company when you guys go public?
Absolutely. Yeah. It ties in. Yeah. As long as I have stock in this or something, as long as I get a t-shirt, whatever it takes,
a sweatshirt. Hey, we sent you a custom hoodie to a Ringer office, and they rejected it.
Yeah, we never got stuff that was sent to us at the Ringer. They either kept it or it was like, like in prison, you know, like in prison when you send something and they like go through your stuff and they check what it is and either they keep it or throw it out. That's kind of what happened at the Ringer. Bose sent us headphones one time, and then I went over and Bill's kid had the Bose headphones. I was like, I think I need to figure this out.
That's terrible. Well, we'll link it back up.
Don't give TW any ideas for locker room access, please. Yeah.
Block always it check all. The free stuff.
What's the genesis for your deep rooted Tar Heel love?
I mean, the genesis is my grandparents didn't go to college. My great uncle played baseball and basketball. The one that had the scoring record, he played baseball and basketball at ECU because he could not get into North Carolina. He could get into Duke somehow. Art Heyman and my great uncle were the two guys that were basically Vic Bubas came down to visit both of them and offered both of them. My great uncle decided to go to ECU because he wanted to play baseball also. So we were sort of ECU fans. We're Eastern North Carolina. My mom was the first to go to college. She goes to North Carolina. She's a teacher now. My dad went to North Carolina. After, you know, a couple of years at ECU, he transfers over to North Carolina. And then when we grew up, my parents, they basically said if we weren't, we had to make straight A's because we had to go to North Carolina, because that was the best school in the world. That's kind of like the Carolina blue, you know, mindset that you have in these parts of the world. So that was pretty much my life. I had to make straight A's. I had to come home. I had to play sports. I had to be super serious all the time. And then when I got to Carolina, finally, I was like, oh, it's not that serious. I can have fun again and live my life and, you know, just whatever. But it was all just like a generational, like, you have the opportunity now. So if you don't go to North Carolina, you're letting us all down. So I was like, all right, I got to do it. So me and my brother both went there.
It's fascinating talking to the TW of UNC.
pretty much. Exactly. What about for you, Ty? What about you at New York as a kid? What did UNC, was that on the radar in terms of like, hey, I'd love to go to UNC one day?
We love New York point guards.
Clearly.
I grew up. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I mean, like, my dad will confirm, like, we grew up watching, like, Carolina Duke was the biggest thing to watch, you know what I mean? So, obviously, Carolina Duke, like, those would have been dream schools for me. But I think when I hit my, probably freshman year of high school, I didn't really have any more dream schools. Then it kind of became about, like, who was recruiting me, started to go through the whole process. And at that point, Virginia started to become, you know what I mean, like, Carolina Duke and Coach Bennett always says, like, he wants guys that want a shot at a title fight. And that's, you know, guys who want to compete against Carolina Duke. So that was definitely part of the reason I chose Virginia to get a chance at playing against Carolina and Duke. So Carolina never really, really recruited me, though.
I hate to hear that. I don't like that at all. I would have recruited you. That's what I want to do. My next wave is like trying to be like a guy that's just in the world, just trying to find guys like Cinderella. Like maybe this guy.
but I got to tell you, because I've always been a fan of Carolina, and one of my best friends is a huge, huge Carolina fan, right? And in fairness to UNC, if they wanted to recruit Ty, he committed before the start of his junior year.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So let's be fair. And I'll say this also. My younger son Kobe and
that's
I.
That's who we want. That's who we want. That's who I'm putting out to the world. Kobe Jerome to North Carolina. That's
relax. We got
Kobe White to Kobe Jerome. Are you kidding me? Come on.
He's at Blue Ridge for a reason. I bet.
We went to a Duke game, Duke Miami game the year you did. We were Duke won it and Miami beat them on their. On the Duke's court, we went to go visit UNC, and we were so blown away by the campus, the museum right next to the stadium.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So the basketball museum.
No,
tell you what up, bro.
What's up, man? I was just talking about you. We were just talking about how you'd be a great UVA basketball player if you went to UVA.
Man, talk about shoulda, coulda, woulda, man.
James Michael McAdoo Dow joining us.
What's up, everybody? What's up?
Yo, appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, Matt, who's your favorite teammate of all time? And I got to bounce. I think me and Ty both have to bounce. But who's your favorite teammate of all time? It's an easy answer to me, man.
That's wildest, for sure. The wildest. I mean, we was kids, and I remember thinking, like, in middle school, like, yo, this dude is weird. This dude is crazy.
Weirdest teammate of all time. We know.
Yeah. Nah, my guy. That's my guy.
All right, well, I'm going to let you guys chop it up.
For sure.
Appreciate you.
Good to see you, man.
So we were just chatting about UNC versus UVA and the history there. You being a Virginia guy, when you're down to that, you got just right there, but when you're down to that choice of UNC versus UVA, like what were your, I don't even know if UVA was even remotely on your radar, but what were you thinking during that process?
No, I mean, UVA was in my top three and they were really my number two, like in terms of it was Carolina, Duke and UVA. And I remember, like, right before I made my decision, I went to Duke, so I knew for sure I wasn't going to go there. I just didn't like the vibe. It just wasn't for me. And I grew up.
Yeah, you're a good man.
I grew up in Tar. Like, I grew up – my dad grew up 10 minutes from UNC Chapel Hill, so I used to come down here all the time to see my grandma. So I really was a Tar Heel. But, like, the bad thing was Coach Bennett didn't take over till it was so late in my recruiting. It was just so late. I'm trying to think. Who was the coach there before them? Coach Lato. I had a great relationship with Coach Lato. I think, where's he at now? I think he's at, like, DePaul or something. I loved Coach Lato. I mean, he was so down to earth. You know, he used to hoop. It was just amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I used to watch Sean Singletary and all them. Like, I grew up watching the Hoops. You know what I mean? Like, and I had such a good relationship with him. But then when they fired him. And then Coach Bennett came in. I had no disrespect to Coach Bennett. Obviously, he's done great things. I have so much respect to him, you know, his faith in God. I love Coach Bennett, everything he's done at UVA. But it's like he came in so late.
Right.
And he was coming from, like, Washington State. And I think I don't even know if he had, like, a winning record there at Washington State. It was just kind of, like, weird. And it's like, here I got UNC Chapel Hill. I'm like, I can't turn down Chapel Hill. Like, it was just, you know, like, for me, it was – I had to go to Carolina. I just had to. And you probably – Justin could speak on that. Like, I feel like even throughout my whole recruiting process, like, I was going on other visits, but, like, everybody knew, like, McAdoo was going to Carolina. Like, it was already a done deal. You know, but, like, looking back at it, I'm like, man, what if? Like, that would have been crazy.
That would have been too much fun.
It would have been too much fun. It would have been – yeah, but I think it's great, obviously, everything he's done with the program. But it was just a timing thing, you know. I really feel like if he would have came earlier and I would have got to know him, obviously, I could have easily ended up there, you know. for sure. Mac, like, it wasn't far off.
What did it for North Carolina?
Escalate.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish. No, I wish. I wish. I wish. I mean, like I said, man, like I've always loved the Tar Heels, you know, growing up. Even though I lived in, you know, I grew up in Norfolk, Virginia. Like, I used to always come down there during the summer, spend time with my grandma who lived right next to the campus. And I think it was one of those things where, like, my dad, throughout my whole recruiting process, he's like, listen, I want you to make this decision. But it's like, Pops, I know that's your dream school. Right? Like, you grew up 5 minutes from the campus. James Worthy, you know, my uncle, all these guys, you know, that my pops obviously, like, used to talk about, like, I used to play with these guys in the summertime. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, Dad, like, I get it. You don't, like, you're trying to, you know, be unbiased. But, like, it was just for me. You know, like, I always knew growing up I would probably end up going there if I could. And, you know, as soon as they offered, I made that decision.
There was always North a Carolina. Part of me that I thought Kendall did a better job recruiting you. Than I did.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that because, like, I think you were still undecided. But it's like Mike Scott was from the area I grew up in. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up watching him when I was younger, playing in the area. Sean, like I said, Sean Singletary.
What about AI? What about the influence of him in that Virginia Beach area? Man. Was that Georgetown on the list because of him, or was it?
Nah, I mean, they got a visit. They got a visit. Okay. I mean, I think, shoot, even AI would have probably told you, like, yo, don't go there at that time. They definitely got a visit. You know, John Thompson, they had great players. I remember going up watching them play, DeJuan Summers. They had a bunch of guys that, you know, I was like, man, like, and that was when the Big East was, like, the best conference, you know? So I was looking at them. I was looking at Syracuse. But then, like, obviously, that whole Big East kind of, like, that, it kind of broke up. And now you see, like, what the ACC is. I think it's the best conference, you know, in college basketball.
Mm-hmm. And Justin mentioned this earlier, James Michael, but I have to point out, you know, our freshman year together, we go to Las Vegas, and you guys are playing in the tournament, and you guys play UNLV. And, you know, you remember that. You remember the chants. You remember the Rebels, Rebels. And then before that game, Kendall Marshall had been told by Stillman White that the UNLV point guard was nasty. But we had everyone on that team. You guys were all NBA. Like, it was Harrison was there, NBA. You're basically NBA. You were projected to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
And then Kendall's wrist happens. Do you think that I need to bring that up more in my world? Do I need to point out the fact that in 2012, North Carolina should have won the title? You would have been a top five pick if that happens. Should I bring that up more? Because I want to. I think it needs to happen.
I mean, everybody that knows anything about UNC basketball knows that's just one of those years that got away. You know, like, it happens to every program. You know, it happened to UVA. You know, like, they could be talking about having a back-to-back. It just happens, man. I mean, it's just, like, it's brutal. Mm-hmm. It's just brutal to think about because it's, like, for sure, I don't know we win it for sure, but it's us versus Kentucky because we played them earlier in the season, remember?
Yeah. Yep, John. You know? Yeah, the John.
John gets his shot blocked.
Yep.
But we right there, you know, on the road. And that would have been – you talk about a national championship game for the ages. That would have been – I mean, that's what you live for, you know, and it's just like, man, we definitely should have had that one. But I'm still a little frustrated because I'm like, man, we threw Stillman White into the fire. You know, like,
yeah, we did.
He was our basically a glorified walk-on, I think, our freshman year.
And when you were decided, Tate, what was your rooting interest there when – they were deciding colleges between you, both of you, or are you both trying to go to UNC, or is it you convincing?
No, I mean, James Michael is the number one recruit in the country, the MVP of the Jordan brand game, like the McDonald's game. Like, James Michael, I was just, like, happy to see him when I got on campus.
Did they even know the stories of us, man? Like,
but I'm just saying, I just remember driving you around, like, freshman year, because, like, one of the managers on the team, like, he was like, your job is just to drive James Michael, make sure James Michael's safe. I'm just driving him to every party, pull him up, drop him off, make sure everyone's taking care of him. Like, James Michael, get in the car, let's get out of here.
My guy.
It was a great
time. My guy. Yeah.
Listen to Thug Motivation 103
all the time. Whenever the new Jeezy would drop, we would be hype.
So, James, you grew up playing baseball and basketball with Tate?
No, I didn't meet Tate until freshman year of college. Like, one of our managers was in a fraternity,
and I got to know like a bunch of the guys in that frat house. And then Tate, I guess you were pledging. You pledged. Yeah.
Well, you played baseball. Remember Joey Kirby, right? You were like on the all the baseball. You were on those teams back then. But then then we got to college. We kind of like reconnected, and then James Michael was basically going to be, like I said, a top five pick, and everyone was on top of you. Remember that freshman year? Everybody wanted to be around James Michael. Everyone was like, this is like, you were basically Andrew Wiggins at Carolina that freshman year.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to get their hands on you, and you got Harrison Barnes, you got Kendall, you got Reggie Bullock, you got John Henson. It was just like, I don't even think that exists in college basketball anymore with that many guys.
Nah, so that many upperclassmen. So I remember coming in, like PJ was like PJ. Top 10 recruit, you know what I mean? But I'm just like the wild little brother, you know what I mean? Like I'm just here for the ride and learning from those guys, you know what I mean? Because we all knew those guys were obviously NBA players, and I still had to kind of come into my own during that freshman year.
Yeah, and it was like you, Desmond, and Stillman. So like it was like you, like a five-star, like Desmond and Stillman just chilling.
Just chilling. Yeah, man.
But you were a teammate of Justin's in AAU.
Yeah. I mean, Justin, I remember playing against you when you played for the Richmond Squires. Justin played for the Richmond Squires, but he was young. He was obviously 1 year below me, but he was just like super freak athlete, but he would shoot the ball from like NBA threes back then, and he couldn't shoot a lick back then either. Yo, this guy needs to calm down. He would just get him up. And then we ended up playing with Boo Williams. I remember when we played 15 and under together, and we finished the 15 and under, but then they called us up. Remember, Justin, we went to Peace Jam. We played 16 and under together. And that's when we both came on the scene, because they were like, man, these guys haven't played. We ain't seen these guys. So we moved up and played with Boo's 16 and under team. But we was like basically the stars on that team. And that's really when we came on the scene. I think that's really honestly right, bro. Like right when we both came on the scene.
Yep, we looked at each other. We were both sitting on the bench. Yeah. I don't know if we go get the game.
we were just happy to be there. We were right. Peace Jam, college coaches sitting on the sidelines. Like that was the first time for me. I'm like, whoa, like this. I didn't even know this existed. You know,
what was dope from there is like not only did we end up meeting up in AAU.
Yeah,
our parents got really close, and then USA basketball came, and we were we went to USA basketball together.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. Life kind of kept us aligned.
Yeah.
It was always one story. I remember Coach Bennett telling me this story, and it's a testament to your faith, and you can kind of speak on it.
Yeah.
But Coach Bennett told me this story. He said he remembers when I always asked him, like, yo, you were in the league. Like, I'm in the league now. I know the temptations in the league. How did you stay away from the temptations? And he was like, you know, like, I had my what's my man's name? Larry Johnson?
Oh, dude, yeah.
I used to say, how'd you stay away from, like, going out or whatever? He's like, well, you know, I had my Bible, and every night, I think it was Larry Johnson. I hope I'm not missing this story up, but he said he would pull out his Bible and read his devotional before he goes to bed and things like that. And James, when we were playing AAU, James would do the exact same thing every single trip. And it's so cool to see the parallel between talking about potentially going to UVA and respecting and things like that. It's like these are characteristics that I wish we got to be able to inherit at Virginia. It's something that I think the North Carolina fans should really appreciate, and it's kind of underestimated. But talk a little bit about that. But I also am very curious to know what it was like for you personally, like when you saw Virginia on the list, like when you saw Virginia on the schedule. Did it change, or was it not there yet?
First, I'll just speak on. I feel like UVA and North Carolina both do a good job of like recruiting those high character guys, you know, like you don't get knuckleheads that come through UVA or UNC. And so I feel like that was obviously like probably one of the main things that drew us to both of those universities. You know what I mean? Like we know that like, even if we don't even get to play ball here, we get injured, knock on wood, we still going to enjoy our experience there.
Yep.
But in terms of like UVA, it wasn't quite what it is now, bro.
Like, right.
I remember my freshman year, was the first time we ever, that was the only time we won up at John Paul Jones, was my freshman year. And we won there. Like Mike Scott was on, Bud was on, he was cooking.
I don't know if you remember, but I was a recruit. I was at that game.
You were at that game.
Kendall threw the lob to John Henson.
Yes.
Underneath out of bounds, and he dunked on his
dunk.
Oh my God.
He dunked on somebody so bad. And I remember that game because I'm like, That was a big time road. That was one of our first big, I think we had, because we had gotten blasted by Florida State that year by like 33 Tate. You remember that on the road? Yep,
100%.
We were like number one team.
Michael Snare, Florida State?
Yep.
Was he? Yeah.
Derwin Kitchen, I think, right? Derwin Kitchen.
Dokies. They just blasted us. So like that was a really, that was a big road test for us. And like, and that's just a tough place to play. They put you at that little cottage hotel on the campus. It's just like, it's hard to play there. But I mean, I think later on, like once you got there, it for sure, like I for sure was always hyped to play UVA because I knew like we had to lock in. Like we couldn't just roll into this game like a Boston College, a Clemson, you know, like any of these other ACC schools. Like we got to be locked in. Like it's going down to the wire. And I think my sophomore year, y'all got us there, and then we had a really good game. That's when you busted my lip. You remember that? Mm-hmm. You busted my lip. And I just remember that, man. I know I scored my 1,000th point. I think my junior year, I dunked on Mike Toby. I do remember that, but y'all beat
that's
us
why,
that game.
That's why I had to bust your lip, bro.
It was like, that's basically my home game. You know what I mean? Like, my parents never came to Virginia Tech. That was like the closest home game I had, you know? So, like, I always would have all the family there. We would always, except for my freshman year, we would always lose. So it was always like, all right, we got to get them when they come to our house.
Were you surprised at the progression of Justin's shooting ability?
Nah, because the confidence was always there. Justin's confidence, nah, I'm not even going to say his cockiness, but his confidence was always there. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I do. And I don't even know if you really changed your form all that much, Justin. I feel like you just started making them. You just started making them.
Like you said, man. I was doing it in AAU and things like that. It just, I guess, as you keep building up, you just kind of get the flow.
And your release is so like dramatic. So like when we were younger, we're like, what is this guy doing? He out here just jacking. Like, but then sure enough, you know, you get to UVA and obviously in the NBA, like that's one of your calling cards. And I think it's definitely like something that you just stuck by. And I think that's a testament to you, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man.
And then I know you guys got to head out here in a second, but one last question in terms of, for you, James Michael, before you head out. Mount Rushmore of UNC players. Tate did his. I'm just curious, now being the alum, who's on your list? You know,
how many do I get? Five?
Yeah, there's four in Mount Rushmore. We'll give you five. We'll do five. As Dougie says, he just discovered there are actually four. But so we just
I had no idea how many were up there.
I can do four. I mean, MJ and T Hands for sure. Whoa. I mean, they're just
All right.
MJ and T Hands. One and two, three.
Man, you better say Bob back.
Nah, I can't say.
Bob
was the first one and done. A lot of people don't even know that. Like, he was the first one and done to come through Carolina ever. Like,
that's crazy.
But I'm just talking about. I just want to talk about like Carolina career. Mm-hmm. I think, man, it's so tough because it's like I know these guys personally. It's like I want to group Rashid, Stack, and Vince as like one person.
Like the 90s.
The 90s, like I just want to throw them in there, man. But golly, I can't.
Damn, that's a tough right there. Sheesh.
I'm not going to put anybody from the 93 team. I'm just, no disrespect to them. I feel like I got to throw somebody from the 05 team in there. So I'm going to throw Big May in there, Sean May.
Nice.
I'm going to throw Sean in there. Just like his career was, you know, obviously he was just dominant, amazing. And then I guess I get like a black, I guess I get one more person. Dang. Who'd you say, Tate? Who'd you say?
My top five are Dean Smith, Phil Ford, Big Game James, Michael, George Lynch, and Vince Carter.
Yeah. I'm going to just lean towards James. James Worthy.
There you go. Big Game.
I'm going to just lean towards Big Game. I mean, I didn't know we were doing coaches. I put Dean in there. Like,
Dean as the fifth one as the coach. Yeah. Like, that's who my
But coach. I'm just talking like, obviously, Vince, career-wise, crazy. He never won the Natty there. Chuan never won the Natty there. You know, like, Antoine was crazy there. You know, like, the numbers those guys put up, unbelievable. So, but yeah, man, go ahead.
And I was going to say, I like that with North Carolina. It's like everyone, it's like a way to brag. You just kind of get, oh, I don't even know who to pick. I could pick this guy. I was like, I could pick, you know, like Kenny Smith. Yeah. I could pick, you know, Rick Fox. It's like, yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah, King list. Rice on that list somewhere.
King Rice.
Jeff Lebo.
Billy Cunningham, the Kangaroo Kid.
I will say, man, you guys are at a tough advantage, competitor's disadvantage, I guess, because I remember when I first walked into the Dean Dome with Virginia and I was playing against, and you glance up and you see that jersey hanging up. It's hard. Yeah. You got to bring your best every night when you guys play a home game there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 2-3 was the reason why a lot of people play this game. And so when you go into the house that I don't want to say he built, but when you go into the house he played in, you know, when you go there, you want to put on a show. Mm-hmm. I remember this year last year, the championship year, he actually went to the game. These knuckleheads had LeBron James and Michael Jordan come into a game in like back-to-back weeks. And I was like, man, this got to be lit to play for UVA. But it was always a fun place to play. Like, you bring it up earlier, Tate, you were saying, like, we had you guys' number. Listen, I couldn't tell you the amount of toss-back shooting. And toss-back is like this little net
thing.
And you throw it off. The amount of toss-back shooting we did to get ready to play in there, because those rims are so soft. Like, Coach Bennett didn't want to, like, walk through anything. We got to the gym and it was like nighttime. He was like, all right, we're gonna pull out the tossbacks, we're gonna get shots up, and we're just gonna shoot. And it was no like, oh, we're gonna go through plays or whatever, let's just get shots up. So we were always really well prepared. I don't know if Ty and his unit did that when they came to play, because they had a really good game there as well. But those rims, man, that's shooters heaven out there in North Carolina.
Ain't nothing like
it. They have springs in the floor too, right? I could touch the backboard on my backboard on my layups. So I mean, that shit was nice.
What was your stats against UNC?
Real. My last game in the Dean Dome, I had 16. We lost by 20.
Who'd y'all play against? Who was on the team?
93 team.
Okay. Yeah,
those motherfuckers said they had 5-footers too. They had 5 7-footers on the team. Mm-hmm. So they ended up just wearing us down by the end. But I could definitely shoot in there. I had good games in Dingo. And then you guys remember when they turned the lights out on us, Tate, in the ACC tournament?
Oh, yeah.
We're up by 6 in the second half in Charlotte.
That's some old Dean Smith stuff right there.
Coach Smith went over the thing, boom. Something about Coach Smith, Tate, I wanted to tell you. I don't know if you know this. He was an incredible low-key shit talker from the sideline.
Yeah, yeah. So was Michael Jordan. I learned it from each
other. I grew up in Coach Smith's camp, and I had a chance to go to Carolina, but not Kenny Harris went. But during the game, he picked like Ted Jeffries, our center, and he's like, Ted, that's two fouls. Next one, TJ, that's three. Next one's gonna be four. Right? Just low-key.
Just looking with that voice. Oh, that's two. That's two right there.
That's two. Smoking a cigarette in the hallway beforehand.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Legend.
Legend for sure.
Legend.
You guys just named the mountain. It shouldn't be Mount Rushmore, Mount Smith.
Man,
and then you put your five up.
Yeah, for sure.
Facts. Sure.
We'll get there soon.
I mean, you obviously feel free to jump off if you guys got to go. But the next one topic I was going to hit is obviously everyone talks about the rivalry, Duke-UNC. I find it interesting that UVA versus UNC in terms of style and comparison of programs, it makes way more sense in terms of like similarities than Duke. Like watching Duke turn into what it has, what has that been like for you guys? Like becoming this one and done factory that like, what is going on there?
I mean, it started right with your class. I mean, it started around your age, right? James, probably with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie was the first one, really. And I mean, I remember when Harrison committed to Carolina, my brother was there at Duke, and Coach K threw a chair because he was so upset because he thought the Skype was broken, but he actually Skyped into Roy Williams instead.
Yeah.
And that was when I think that's when it all changed, right? That was when Coach K was like, I'm not messing around. Like, if I'm going to lose the number one player, Harrison, and I'm going to lose James Michael the next year, then I got to figure out how to do this because I'm already losing Anthony Davis to Calipari.
Yeah.
And just being Carolina guys ourselves, like, we don't really have – like, I'm not really ever worried about Duke, really.
Right.
It's just kind of like it is what it is. They exist. We need them to be great to make the rivalry great. Right. But – just the fact that they sold their soul so quickly I think was a little shocking because it's just not Duke basketball anymore. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah,
it's like they're playing Carolina basketball now, and it's strange.
Yeah, it definitely was weird. You know what I mean? Like, I think there was a few years there where it was kind of frustrating because, like, dang, like even like when I was there, I'm like, all these guys would come on recruiting visits to Carolina, and I would have to host them. Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, all these guys would come in, and it's like they would just turn right around and go to Duke. You know what I mean? And they were getting, you know, the Jabari Parkers, and like even Austin, you know, Austin Rivers went there. He kind of followed right in that footsteps. And I'm always interested. I always wonder, like, how much of that was Coach K, you know what I mean? Like, or how much of that was, like, his assistants and them basically coming to him, like, listen, like, it's time we get on this Calipari train. Like, you know, this is going to be our best selling point to get these guys in here. And, I mean, no just like,
yeah,
that's
respect.
Them.
Yeah, yeah,
that's yeah, them. Respect. You know what I mean? Like, look at all the guys they putting in the league. I mean,
James, Michael, you bring up an interesting question, though. You hosting the guys, whatever. Did you guys kind of know who would be a Carolina guy immediately versus who's a Duke guy? Because UVA was like that for sure. Yeah,
for sure. I mean, it's like you knew the guys that, like, wanted to be there to, like, experience it, and the dudes were just like, I'm gonna just cross this off my list. Like, let me go look at Carolina, check
like
it out.
Wiggins, like Wiggins. Wiggins was the funniest one. Wiggins came in. I don't think he said a word while he was in jail.
Yeah. Nah, it's like, you ain't gonna fit in here, bro. You better not. You might not want to go.
But yeah, Stackhouse visited us back in the day. I think he knew more girls on campus than I did. Pretty impressive.
Just on the visit.
I don't know where.
Yeah. But it's like Roy still hasn't done that though. Like, he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I was probably like a couple years ago, I probably would have been like, man, we need to start going after these one and done. But it's like, look, we go to two Final Fours back to back. When's the last? I mean, Duke had the one there when Okafor and them won it. But it's like, since then, I would say we've had more success. UVA's obviously had more success.
Villanova, you know what I mean? Similar.
Yeah. So it's like, is it really working out? I don't know. And I think even this year, we got the number. Carolina has the number two. We got number two recruiting class.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're bringing guys in.
Yeah.
Well, recently he's adopted that style though, right? Because he had Kobe White, and he had
Kobe didn't want to leave though. I'm telling you, like, nobody saw that. Nobody saw Kobe having that year. Nobody saw that.
Hey, you should do a show called House Flippers Duke. Like, how do they flip houses? You got a one and done come in, then family moves. The next one and done comes in. How are they flipping the houses so quick?
I mean, it's weird because, like, what you think is Jabari Parker's house, but then it's actually now, you know, Cam Reddish's house. And you're like, I don't understand. Like, you're like, how did that get flipped over so quick? All in the same neighborhood, and they all live next to each other. And then they do all the videos, you know, the Duke videos, like, during the offseason. They're all, like, playing pool basketball at these nice houses. I'm like, where are these houses at?
Hold on. That is not Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm like, where?
Exactly.
Where are y'all flying in from?
Yeah. Keep the post office
like
busy.
What I've seen. Yeah, that's not shooters.
Yeah, man.
And then what about – so Duke now flips the switch, and now they're this – I don't even know what you call it in terms of – because when I – you know, similar to Tate, historian of the game, when I think about the greatest players, usually I'm thinking UNC, and then that turns to now a four-year – how is the UNC community taking that in terms – do they want the one-and-dones? Are they okay with, like, doing the four-year real college basketball, like – you know, let's keep it real. UNC is a, like, clean program other than the whatever AFAM stuff. But, like, you guys keep it real. You're not doing these one-and-done things. But what does the community want? Is it win at all costs because we're UNC, or is it they're cool with it?
I mean, James, Michael, you can speak to this probably just being inside the basketball team. I think the fans are rational. The fans are always going to be irrational. Like, if James Michael, for example, in 2014, he could have a 20-10 game and we lose and people are like, James Michael should have had 30-20. You know what I mean? That is a North Carolina fan experience, right? They're always going to point to something to complain about. And, right, like this year, number two recruiting class in the country. Why aren't we number one? How is Kentucky still number one? Yeah. That is the blue blood fan base. That's just kind of, you know, that comes with the territory a little bit. I would say that Roy does a really good job of just kind of keeping that stuff at bay or keeping it at a distance from the players as best he can. Because it's really hard. There's a lot of diehard fans in this world, part of the country. Right. And they like to go and, like, run their mouths and talk about players and yada, yada, yada. So if you don't have thick skin, I would not go to Carolina, Duke, Virginia, or one of those schools. It might be like a Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, like, you know, Clemson, like we were talking about earlier, just go there, do you, shine and get out. But it's also, I mean, I think that's fun about it. Like Justin was saying, you go in the Dean Dome, you see all the jerseys hanging. You're like, I got to answer some sort of standard here and I got to play up to a standard. And, I mean, who cares about rankings? Honestly, I just care about if you're good at basketball. I've seen a lot of guys that are ranked number one, that Kobe White's a lot better than Cole Anthony, I think. And that they were ranked totally differently. And that's fine. And I think Cole will grow into it. He's a pick and roll player. And Kobe, you know, I think is more of an all around point guard. And they were ranked totally different. Kobe was a 4-star guy at one point, and he grew into being this guy that's a top pick. So I don't really care about rankings or recruiting rankings, but you know, Carolina fans obviously do.
And then Mark, are we okay to just jump into this first impression?
Let's jump into the impression.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. And so we generally just look at photos. Want to get your impression. First one, James Harden rolling up short shorts. What? And I hear you talk about off-whites and fashion. What are your thoughts on the rolled up short shorts?
I'm going to say, look, James, I love James Harden, man. Like, he's a really cool dude. And I like that he's trying to swag on him with the short shorts. Like, why not? My whole thing is, like, as long as you are confident in what you're doing, you can pull it off. And he's obviously confident in what he's doing.
And next one, and again, another, you know, we do two sort of fashion ones. PJ Tucker, crazy sneaker game on court. What is your take on this? I've always wondered what your thoughts are. I mean, he's wearing the off-white Jordan 1 Chicago's there in a game.
PJ Tucker is one of my favorite Raleigh, North Carolina basketball players. He's a real one. He's a sneakerhead, like you said. He's obviously got everything that you can imagine. As far as, the Jordan, the shoes. But I just want to shout out Julius Randle, because Julius Randle's nasty. And I feel like we have this problem in the NBA where we always want to, like, put people down because, like, whatever, because of rankings that we saw before. But, like, Julius Randle's a baller. He's a hooper. So that's what I'll say about that.
And what about, like, Jordan, obviously, the sneaker thing, incredible as a fan, seeing all of these different players from all over wearing your favorite player's shoes. What is that like?
I mean, yeah, it's I feel like that whole thing. I mean, that's why I would go to North Carolina, just to get Jordans. Those were the first basketball shoes I got and went and bought out. And they were just, like, used shoes that I got at a yard sale, but they were still Jordans, so they counted. They probably were fake. But yeah, it's like a stamp of approval, you know. It's like, I got Jays on, and that's nice. It feels nice. It's like the new luxury shoes, I guess.
Absolutely. And then we got to get this. Is I wanted to get an outsider's opinion on this. This is the new Virginia logo. Everyone's up in arms about it. You know, there's all kinds of talk. What are your thoughts? Have you even seen it? Is this?
I have not seen it. What is that? A Wahoo? That's supposed to be a Wahoo, right? That's
the Cavalier. Yeah,
the Cavalier. Yeah. Okay. I like the V. I like the V with the swords. I think we just keep it. I think we just keep it classic. Let's just keep it standard.
Can we just say the quote of the day? Is that a Wahoo? That was phenomenal.
I don't know
what a Wahoo is.
I don't either. That's what I'm guessing that is. I'm like, what is that little thing?
That's a Wahoo from here on out.
And hey, we talked about this for a moment. The GOAT, Virginia game. Mm. I think you guys talked about this a little bit. Like, how often does he come to games? Like, what is it?
The first time he came back in the 2010s was in 2014 or 2012 when Harrison was there. He came back for a game. We won the ACC tournament or ACC championship at home. And then he came back for the Ceiling is the Roof game the year that they won the title. And then he was back at this game with Mitch Kupchak. The fact that Kupchak is the GM of the Hornets now, Michael's back around because Kupchak is, you know, he's Carolina through and through. So he's always back in Chapel Hill. So he brings Michael around, which is good.
I was talking about Ronnie Weidman, but we'll take that answer as well. All right, this next one. Grayson Allen's shot. Do you remember this in terms of foot's down, ball's in it?
Ball's in his hand. It's a travel, right? Is that
yeah. Yeah, this is the supposed game-winning shot. But Grayson Allen and his antics from a Carolina fan, does it just make you happy?
Grayson Allen, honestly, he didn't even live up to the hype. Like, I wish he was more hateable. I wish he would have done more. I wanted him, like, JJ Redick is the perfect person as far as what you're supposed to do at Duke to be hateable. It's like, be the best player in the country, you know, basically do this to the crowd, slap the floor, all this type of stuff. Grayson was doing things that, you know, no one likes to see, which is tripping. Like, I want to see the rubbing it in my face and talking shit on the floor from a white guy who's hitting a bunch of threes. And that's JJ, John Shire. Grayson was like, he was too perfect, you know. It wasn't even as fun because I'm like, I don't even want to hate Grayson. He seems like a nice kid.
Leighton's pretty good at that too. And with JJ joining the Ringer, like doing podcasts, I feel like he's much more relatable now. And then Justin had him as a teammate. I've heard nothing but good things. It kind of ruins it for me personally, but
yeah, no, JJ is a great guy. I produce his podcast, and all of the hate that I felt as a young kid was all misinterpreted. He's a great Roanoke, Virginia guy. He's from
Virginia. Yeah, exactly. You're a Virginia guy. Now, like, I like JJ, which is like a huge, yeah. Anyway, the tides have turned.
The tides have turned, of course.
And then the next one is, this is more of a question of the Jordan meme piece that going around. I always wondered how does that make you feel seeing Jordan's face plastered in all of these different memes? This is Darius Thompson just getting one and then throwing the – well, classic Jordan crying meme on it.
Michael's a genius because he hated the crying Jordan. So he decided to create a 10-part documentary series where he was given an iPad and it's just him laughing at other people that he beat. And now all the memes are him laughing. So Michael Jordan is a marketing machine.
Good answer.
Oh, yes. The best.
This is Ronald Curry. Ronald Curry, for those that don't remember, he is committed to UVA. Up until announcement day, puts on a UNC hat. So all the UVA fans, at least that's how my memory serves me correctly, everyone was like, he's the next, you know, two-sport athlete, Terry Kirby. We missed out on Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Now we got Ron Curry. We're all amped up, and then he puts on a UNC hat. Is that how you remember it?
How I remember it is basically Ronald Curry's coming to town. He's a number one quarterback. He's going to be a superstar. He was supposedly better than Michael Vick is what we had heard.
Yes.
And then he came down and Ronald Curry and Julius Peppers were the greatest, they were just the greatest duo, two sport duo to ever have. Like, they would play football season. They'd play in their bowl game. The bowl game would be over and then they're back playing basketball. And it was just like, oh my God, here comes Peppers and Curry. It was such a fun time. I remember Doug Gottlieb told me that he would like bust up Ronald Curry. He's like, Ronald Curry sucks at basketball. And I always thought that was hilarious because I loved Ronald Curry. I thought he was great. But, you know, obviously playing two sports it's hard to focus on one thing.
Never easy. And he was Charlie Ward and him, right?
Charlie Ward. Yeah. Jameis Winston, maybe, because he plays football and baseball. Oh, my goodness. Look at this picture.
We already talked about this briefly for that, but that the Playboy article where Jordan said that, you kind of briefly touched on it, but I just wanted to show you this picture one more time.
That's a great picture. Michael would have been a great Virginia basketball player, that's for sure.
I mean, I don't even want to think about, we've talked about it, what would Virginia history be like with him, because then
what Virginia needs is Ralph Sampson highlights. You guys need a Ralph Sampson doc, honestly, because Ralph Sampson's incredible and people have no idea.
Yeah, the Ralph Sampson, that whole era is like, yeah. Anyway,
yeah, you're right. The highlights you see of Ralph are all the same recycled highlights.
Yeah,
it's like three highlights.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the next one, last year, I was watching this at the All Star game. So I imagine you were there at the All Star game as well. Did you tune into this one at all? The dunk contest.
It was during the dunk contest. I watched this happen. Honestly, I'll tell you this. This team this year, I felt for them. I wish Kobe White would have come back, but I don't blame him for going to the league. But they were a young team. And Leaky Black is one of my favorites. And there he is in that picture with the shot. It was a tough year for Carolina basketball. I watched all the games. I like Cole Anthony. I've always liked Greg Anthony. But, man, it couldn't have gone any worse. And this shot is a perfect example of it.
And then, so we're starting a new little series. We're going to show you three sports trading cards, one to buy, one to sell, one to trade.
All right, cool.
And this one, I imagine the first one is, you know, it's tough in the sense that you want to sell them all.
Yeah. I definitely want to sell them all. I would definitely sell the Grayson Allen rookie card. I would trade the Leitner and I would buy the K because it's USA basketball. And the only time that I can get over Coach K is when he's with Team USA because, you know, it just is what it is. I don't like it, but I can get over it. So I guess I'll take the Mike Krzyzewski card. I'll probably hide it in my house somewhere.
I love it.
And then.
Oh, gosh.
So we got Cole Anthony, Caleb Love, Kobe White.
It is the same thing?
Okay. Same thing.
Okay, yeah. So I, I'm gonna trade Cole Anthony. I'm gonna sell Caleb Love, and then I'm gonna buy Kobe White. Kobe White's my favorite. He broke Jamison Curry's scoring record, so he's now the North Carolina State high school scoring record. Kobe White has that record. So he's a North Carolina basketball legend in my mind, and he went to Chicago, so I'm hoping he figures it out.
So Cole Anthony, I don't even know, has he declared for the draft? Is he?
Yes.
Assume he has. Mm-hmm. What are his prospects looking like in terms of draft stock? Do you keep track of that?
I think, yeah, he's a lottery pick. It seems like from what I see. I mean, it's a weird draft this year. LaMelo Ball, from what I can gather, is going to be a top three pick.
That's crazy.
So it's an interesting draft. And I think, honestly, if you were a basketball, like if you're really fundamentally sound at the game of basketball, you have a real shot, I think, to stay in the NBA if front offices are smart, because a lot of the guys coming to the league, they're not as fundamentally sound as some of the guys that grew up going to a Boo Williams or Five Star or one of these other camps and has, you know, the package to, you know, grow their game from a role player to a star. You know, that's what Michael Jordan did. And a lot of people, I think, want to come into the league and expect just to be a star. And I don't think it works like that. So if I was an older guy, like a vet, like, you know, I had the game, I wouldn't be threatened by some of these younger guys coming in, honestly.
And last one, bringing it back to Virginia, buy, sell, trade. Oh. Yeah, Ty, DeAndre. One of which was on the podcast earlier, so
That influence. I mean, well, Ty Jerome's my favorite. So it's a buy Ty, it's a trade Kyle, and because I want Kyle to get out of Sacramento to a better situation, so I'll trade him out of Sacramento, I'll say that, and then I'll sell DeAndre, even though I love all three of the guys. You have to understand, they're like the perfect trio for Virginia, and Ty's just my favorite. Because
you can get a lot of money for DeAndre, though. It's not like selling.
You're selling. DeAndre is a part of a core in Atlanta that I think is that's such a great setup, and I think he's better than Cam Reddish. So I think that all worked out perfectly.
That's it. That's all I got. Appreciate.
Nice. I appreciate. You guys.
Can I get one more question, Tate, before you're done?
Yeah.
Do your UVA Mount Bennett.
Mount Bennett.
Can you do a Virginia?
Do four.
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, do four. I'll do four for those guys. Joe Harris, Justin Anderson, Ty Jerome, and no, Justin Nyman. Not because he's on this. You were like one of the ones that got away from me. I was like, we should have had him in Carolina. You're a Carolina basketball player, so I put you on that list. And then, man, I'm trying to think.
If you keep hesitating, somebody, my face goes up. So be careful. 1993. Spit it out, Tate.
Doug. No, probably Sean Singletary. Probably Sean Singletary, honestly.
Yeah,
I did love Sean. And Sean's coaching now, right? Is he coaching somewhere? I think
he was at LaSalle now.
LaSalle.
He's not anymore. I think he's back. Man. He's back in Charlottesville. Nice.
I think that whole era of UVA basketball just needs like people need to see what was going on. Like they just need a refresher. Like the ACC network should just play games from like the 2000s, like UVA versus UNC randomly in 2005.
Yeah, we just had Roger Mason. We had Mason Jr. on, and like I don't even remember him being a UVA basketball player. I remember as an NBA player. So
yeah, that's what that's I mean. Good point. That kind of stuff.
I could
like,
use it.
They have all the vaults too. Like they have all those games, and we have no sports. So why don't they just play those games?
Yeah, because it makes too much sense.
I mean, they did do the Carolina, the Jordan games, right? Did you watch some of those? They had Jordan versus Sampson. They had like two or three games. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool last Saturday. But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks, dude.
I had no idea we'd have this many guests on, so that was amazing.
Hey, we just wanted everyone to have some love for you.
Sends it down with a tomahawk slam. Chance to win it here. Up the front. This is the tournament.